In the 2001 film Zoolander, Ben Stiller plays clueless male model Derek Zoolander, who's manipulated by the evil designer Mugatu, played by Will Ferrell. Here, Mugatu explains the inspiration behind his latest collection.
Let me show you the future of fashion. Let me show you derelict! It is a fashion, a way of life inspired by the very homeless, the vagrants, the crack whores that make this wonderful city so unique. And I want you, Derek.
The film is hilarious and ridiculous, but not entirely fictional. British designer John Galliano used clothing worn by the destitute as an inspiration for a line in 2000, a hobo chic look. This year, Galliano's making a different statement. His designs seem to be inspired by torture. Galliano's fall 2008 men's collection features young men painted to look bloody and bruised, wearing hoods and ropes around their necks and not much else besides underwear. More specifically, they look like they came from Abu Ghraib. Designers like Galliano have made political commentary of their clothing for years. Kathleen McDermott teaches fashion history at the Rhode Island School of Design. She says these designs are meant to shock.
I think they look frightening and disturbing and distressing. And I think that's exactly what he's trying to do.
It doesn't seem exploitative to you? An attempt, if not to commodify horror, then at least to fetishize it?
I see it as a profound effort to use a bully pulpit to deal with issues that ordinarily you wouldn't think of as fashion issues.
What kind of a designer is John Galliano?
One thing I've personally always noted about him is that he's somebody who is very interested in many different eras, but always with a twist. For example, he might do something taking on the clothing of the Ancien Regime, the period just before the French Revolution, okay? Mm-hmm. But he would show you little bloody slashes across the neck where the guillotine would be, with blood dripping down. So he's always a guy who makes beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things, but there's a very strong edge. I feel like he uses his enormous intelligence and knowledge of the history of fashion to provoke the viewer and have them ask questions.
Tell me about some other designers currently who are using their collections to make shocking political statements.
One that comes to mind most vividly is a designer by the name of Hussein Chalayan, who created a collection around the chador. It started out at the traditional length, so the woman was completely covered. All you could see were the little holes for the eyes. But the actual garment kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter until her whole genital area was exposed. And so there's another example where somebody is using the opportunity that they have to engage the public in a dialogue. Is that garment a political garment? Is it used to exploit women or protect them?
What was the reaction to his collection?
It ran the gamut from outrage, hostility, laughter, you know, approval. It was exactly the reaction that somebody would want to have.
When did designers start using their designs as political commentary?
Probably the most important period is the 19-teens and 20s, and the place I would start would be the revolutionary artists of the Bolshevik period in Russia, who were very interested in casting off what they thought were idle aesthetic types of forms and designs, and they used abstraction and geometry to create what they called political clothing, and clothing that could be used and efficiently created in the first worker factories. And so these were artists as political revolutionaries trying to create clothing that had a message both built into it and visually apparent.
It seems as if these designs reflected what was going on in visual art at the time and architecture.
Very much so.
How do Coco Chanel's early designs fit into all of this?
Well, hers were profoundly political in a very different way, in that as a young woman at the turn of the century, her background, illegitimate, in poverty. There was such a stigma attached to the kind of origins that she had. She developed clothing that was deliberately classless. That is, the little black dress, except for the extreme fine points of fabric and cut. You could not tell a duchess from a cleaning lady. That was very, very important to her, as was her costume jewelry, because for her, being able to pass at any level was profoundly important and profoundly political.
Why did all this start in the 20s? It was all a reaction to the First World War?
Well, if you think about it, the 20s was a time of tremendous ferment by youth. The people who were reacting against the carnage of World War I were the young people. Also, it was a time of great ferment for women, much like the period that we'll come to later in the 1960s. Those are sort of sister decades in the 20th century.
So let's talk about this sister decade. Then fashion was ruled by the youth culture, as in the 20s, and it was rejecting the war. Did we ever see the war depicted on the runway?
You never saw it in the runway, and that's a very interesting question, and I'll explain why. But what you now take for granted, that is, that people can express their political views in their clothing, was born out of the protest culture of the 60s. It happened in the street. People took back fashion, if you will, away from designers. And let me say that people wear $120 pairs of jeans and think, oh, well, jeans are jeans. Well, in the 1960s, jeans were one of the most revolutionary and profoundly political things you could wear. When Woody Guthrie wore jeans, when Bob Dylan wore jeans in the early part of the 1960s, they were saying, we are in political solidarity with the poorest and hardest working people in America, coal miners and farmers. So while designers weren't protesting the war, people were.
On the other hand, the miniskirt was invented on the runway. This was something that was commodified and churned out.
Mary Quant invented the miniskirt, and she couldn't be more clear about the reasons why. She did not want to look like the old fogies of her mother's generation. These were not commodified pieces. They were pieces coming out of a revolutionary, rebellious spirit.
Now let's go back to the beginning and talk about that line launched by John Galliano for Christian Dior back in 2000. That's the one inspired by homeless people that was parodied in Zoolander, hobo chic, so to speak. Do you remember that line?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of it?
Well, to me, it's the same. He is engaging the public. What's the connection between rich and poor? What's the connection between the person on the street and the person who buys couture clothes? To me, he's using his pulpit in a responsible way.
Kathleen, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Kathleen McDermott teaches fashion history at the Rhode Island School of Design.
I am vile, you wretched masters. I am really, really dirty. I am derelict.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by Brooke. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson and more engineering help from Paul Schneider. We also had help from Nadia Zonis and Sasha Evans. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find free transcripts, MP3 downloads, and our podcast at onthemedia.org. You can also post comments there and email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media is provided by the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC. This is NPR.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.